Almighty God, in Jesus' name we come before you. And I pray according to your word, show us your ways, Lord, teach us your paths. Lord, we want to do what you want done. We want to accomplish what you want accomplished in every service. I have a plan and I prepare, but God, I want to do what you want done. So your will, not mine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, we're going to begin today in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and verse 7, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. Now, one way that you can translate that is man became alive with life. Man became alive with life. Everything was there, but there wasn't life in him until God breathed in him. And all of a sudden, there was life. He became alive with life. And then let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 26 through 28 here. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And when it says that, the New Living on that says, in our appearance, rather in our image, or after our appearance, and then to be like us, which would be to function like him. God created us to function like him, not just to live like the world lives. So he says, again, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over." And then he talks about the fish and the sea and the fowl of the air and all those things. So basically he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. So God gave a blessing to man, a fivefold blessing to man there. He blessed him, and then he gave him the command to live in this manner. So when he created man in his image, we look much like God, and then after his likeness, he created us to function very much like him. And so he gave us dominion in the earth. He said, be fruitful. Well, what does that mean? It means to increase in number. He said to multiply. What does that mean? It means to become many. So not only to increase, but become many. He says to replenish the earth. That really means to spread across the face of the earth. So they had a command that they were to spread across the face of the whole earth. He says to subdue it, which means to bring it under his authority, and then to have dominion over it means to rule it wisely. So God gave this command, or these commands, unto man, but in so doing, he had the blessing of God upon him to do it. He was commissioned by God to do this. And then in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, it says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other." So when God created the earth, he created it for us. We were not created for the earth. The earth was created for us. We were created to rule and to reign on earth, which is an amazing thing. The earth was created or formed by God to be inhabited and to be ruled by us. In a very real sense, Adam was to be the small g god of the earth. Ah, but something definitely went wrong in this process, because we see that this authority was transferred to someone else. So let's look at that very briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, It says Satan, who is the god of this world. That's the god with the small g. So it calls Satan the god of this world. So something definitely went wrong, because God created man to be the small g god of this world, to rule and to reign in the earth. He created us to do that, but we see that Satan is this. And we've got the whole rest of that verse there. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, and they are unable. But I wanted to focus on that first part. Satan, who is the god of this world. So there's an issue, because God created us for that. But now we see that Satan has that position. He's called the god, small g, of this world. Then in John chapter 12 and verse 31, it says here, the time for judging the world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. So again, we see that which God created us to be, now we see someone else in that position. And one other verse along this line, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, we know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's Satan. So we understand that which God created us for, there's now someone else in that position. There's someone else in that position, and something went wrong. Well, what was it? What was it that went wrong? Sin is what went wrong. Rule was then delivered to Satan when man sinned. And also, there's another issue. When man sinned, death entered the world with sin. Death entered the world with sin. Death, the result of sin. Going back to Genesis chapter 2 again. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. In verse 15 it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. That means to keep it and to guard it. So he was to tend it, which means to cultivate it, and then he was to watch over it, which means to keep and to guard it. God told him this. If he says you're going to have to guard it, don't you think that there's something you're going to have to guard it from? God does not use his words lightly. So the Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch it. And then in verse 16, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are sure to die. In the original language that this is written in the Hebrew, when it says that, it really means this: in dying, you shall die. In dying, you shall die. Now, remember what we said earlier, when God breathed life into man, he became alive with life. And now he begins telling him not to eat of that. And he says, if you eat of that, in dying, you shall die. Death began to work in Adam the instant that he sinned. Death began to work in him. He didn't die for a long time, but death was at work in him. And in dying, he died. Death was at work in him. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, you know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma we're in. First sin, then death, and no one exempt from either sin or death. No one's exempt from either sin or death. And then in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So what happened, and I'm not going to read the whole story, we've done it many times, but in Genesis chapter 3, we see that Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve. And he tempted them to eat of that tree. And when they began to look at the tree, focus on the tree, take their eyes off of everything else God had for them, all the good things, they began to focus on that one tree. And Eve began to say within herself, and to see it and see that it looks like it's really good fruit. And so she went and she took a bite of it. And, you know, we always blame the woman, but it says Adam was with her. So he could have stopped her. He should have stopped her. He's the one that got the command from God not to eat of this. Now, I'm sure that she's heard that too, but he got the command first, which means he was responsible. So anyway, when they ate of that, immediately death began to work in them and sin came into the world. Now, we could go to Romans chapter 8 and we could look at this in great measure because it talks about what happened there. And we can look, you know, in the third chapter of Genesis and the fall of man and all the things that took place. I don't like thorns. I don't like thistles. I don't like weeds. All of that is a result of sin. And there's coming a day when we won't have that anymore. And that's not really all that far off. But it is the result of sin. And death is the result of sin. But I want to tell you this. We were made to be alive with life. That's what we were made for. We were made to be alive with life. We were not made for death. Death is repulsive to us because we were not made for it. We were made for life. God made us for life. He made us to live with the life of God in us, not to have death working in us. And that's why that death is so repulsive to us. A corpse, a dead body, is an abhorrent thing. Now, I'll talk about this and then I'll go back to my notes, but 4 years ago, going on 5 years ago now, my mom was in the nursing home, and she'd been in there for several years, 4.5 years or so, and we got a phone call. We were actually at some ministry meetings in Champaign, and we got a phone call, and they told me that my mom wasn't doing well, and she hadn't eaten anything for like 4 days. And she wasn't taking in any water. Now, you can survive for a while without food, but without water, you cannot survive. And so we stayed for just a little bit, and we should have left instantly. The meetings hadn't even started yet when I got the call. And we stayed for the first session, and I wasn't thinking about what they were talking about. And then we left, and we came home, we got some clothes. And we didn't. We just had what we had. And we went straight to the nursing home. And we were there for a while, and I think it was 6 days, wasn't it? My mom died in six days. And we were there, and I saw her take a breath and die. I was there when she took her last breath. I was watching her. We were in the room. And it is absolutely amazing. They're alive, and instantly they're not there. And death causes us to recoil. It causes us to back up. Why? Because we were not made for it. God created us for life, not for death. And it causes something on the inside of us. That was my mother, who I dearly loved. One of the most precious people on the planet to me. I had two women that were so important to me, my wife and my mom. And I mean, there are others, but those two held a place that, you know, were very high. And I saw her take that last breath, and she isn't there anymore. And you're instantly, that's just a body. Because she's not alive anymore. And it causes us to recoil. A corpse, a dead body, is an abhorrent thing. No matter how much death you may be around, you can never fully escape the repugnance, the distaste, and the repulsiveness of it. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about for death itself. And it causes something on the inside of us. We were not created for death, but rather life. And as such, it is, in a very real sense, a foreign thing to us. Death is foreign to us. We were not made for death. We were made for life. God created us to be alive with life. That's how He made us. And when we see death, it causes us to back up. Because we were not made for it. We were not made for it. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood." That's talking about Jesus. "For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. There's another translation that puts it this way, and this is not in the computer, but it puts it this way, and let those who all their lives were in chains because of their fear of death go free. So Jesus came to set us free from that. And there is this fear of death because it is so foreign to us. We were not made for death. We were made for life. And so when death is involved, it causes us to back up. It is a foreign thing in a very real sense. Now, we make statements and we'll say, well, death is a part of life. It really isn't. Death is not really a part of life. It is something that we were not made for. We were made to live forever. And we will live forever. This body is going to be changed. But we were not made for death. That's why we back up, we recoil at it. And that's why so many people have this fear of it, because when they see it, man, it just shocks them. It just absolutely shocks them. So, Jesus came so that we might have freedom from the fear of death, but even from death itself. That's why he came. He came for that purpose. In John chapter 6 and verse 47, it says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, he who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on, and has faith in me, has, that is, now possesses eternal life. When we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, death goes out the window. And it takes away the fear of death, but it even takes away death. Now, does that mean that my body is going to live forever? No. But what it does mean is if I am to die and I am going to be with the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about this. You know, to be absent from the body for a believer is to be present with the Lord. So I have no fear of that. And so I don't have to worry about it. And death has no grip on me. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55, 6, and 7. So, Jesus came to give us freedom from fear of death and from death itself. He says a believer will live on forever. And then in John chapter 11, and the context of this chapter is, this is about Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus is going, and he's going to raise him from the dead. Now, Lazarus died again, but he's in heaven now. He's in heaven now. And it says here in John 11:26, and no one who is living and has faith in me will ever see death. I love the last part of this, the last phrase of this verse. Is this your faith? Do you have faith in that? Because I do. I will live forever. I will live forever. Every human being is going to live forever. The question is, are you going to live in life or are you going to live in death? Are you going to live in life or are you going to live in death? We were made for life, to be alive with life. And in this life, we are intended by God and we are authorized by God to rule and reign. We saw that in the book of Genesis with Adam. We saw that when Adam sinned, he turned that authority over to the devil. But one thing that Jesus did was he restored us to that position of authority once again. We're still intended to rule and reign in the earth. We're still intended to rule and reign in the earth. Again, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's look at that again. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or he became alive with life. When sin entered the world, there was a separation from God, and we were spiritually separated from him. But Jesus came to bring us back together with him. And when he went to the cross, you know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It says he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. It says that he died and took our sins in his own body on the tree, on that wooden cross. He died in our place so that we might have life. He did all of that. And then in John 20:22, it says this. Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. Another way of looking at that is, accept ye the sacred breath of life. Accept ye the sacred breath of life. When he breathed, life came into them again. They were united to God again. Restoration came for them to rule and reign again. They ruled and reigned in the authority that he gave them, which was a kind of a temporary thing when he authorized them to act on his behalf. But then, when he died and rose from the dead, we were made children of the Most High God, and now we have been restored to a position of rulership. God has restored us to this position of rulership. Romans 5, verse 17. Romans 5 and verse 17. It says, death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. Now then, people will hear this and they will say, I want to reign like that. I want to rule in the earth. Well, there is a prerequisite. There is something that is an absolute necessity. It is a qualifier for ruling and reigning in life. And that is, you must be born again. That's the first thing. You must be born again. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. And then in verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So it says you were saved. You know, he saved you by his grace. And then in this verse it says, so that we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. God has a good plan, and that plan is that you would rule and reign in this earth. Now, you ruling and reigning doesn't mean that every whim, every desire of yours, you're going to get. What it means is we rule and reign in Christ, which means we rule and reign according to the will of God, what he gives us to do. It talks about that plan that he has for us. And when we walk in the plan that he has for us, he has nothing but victory. Nothing but victory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and right at the tail end of that chapter, it says, for God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and makes manifest the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. So he always causes us to triumph, but that's in the plan of God. But I'm telling you, you are a king, you are a queen, you are a ruler in the earth. If you are born again, God not only created you to live with life, God created you to rule with authority. He created you to do what he created Adam to do initially. He created you to do what he created Adam to do initially. He says, and you'll find this in Mark chapter 16. He says, in my name you shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. If you eat something that's not good, it won't harm you. When you're walking with him, he will keep you safe. He will keep you safe. But also, he also said in Luke chapter 10, that you would tread up. And in Psalm 91, he says, you tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion and dragon, you trample underfoot. He's talking about the power of the enemy. And Jesus said, you will trample upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. He's talking about you walking over the authority of the enemy. Do you realize that when it talks about a kingdom, a king rules a kingdom? You are in God's kingdom, and we are all called to be kings and priests where he has called us. We are called to rule and reign in our sphere of influence. And we are called to do this as a king would. And you take the word back to it in the Greek, you take it back to its most basic essence, it is the word basis, which means a foot. And a ruler or a king is one who puts the foot down. That's what we do. They exercise authority in the earth. God created you for this. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 19, it gives a description of Jesus coming back. He's going to come back on a white horse, and the church is going to follow him on horses also, and we are going to be robed with righteousness. It talks about us having on clean robes, white and clean, and there, you know, it talks about them being linen, but anyway, it talks about that being the righteousness of the saints. And we're going to come back with him. And on him is written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King above all kings. He is the King above us as kings. And he is the Lord above all lords. A lord is one in a place of authority. And that's what we are. We were created to rule and reign in the earth. But it is all under the authority of our God. You were not created to rule and reign according to your whim. You were created to rule and reign according to his desire. And everything that he speaks, he gives you the authority to rule and reign in the earth when he speaks it to you and says, that's your area of authority. So what did he say to Adam? Well, again, he said, be fruitful. What did that mean? It meant increase in number. What does that mean to us? Win the lost. Win the lost. He said, be fruitful, multiply. What does that mean? It means to become many. What does that mean to us? Win many. Win many to the Lord. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What does that mean? It means to spread across the face of the earth. What does that mean to us? It means to expand the kingdom of God everywhere. Everywhere you go should be an expansion of the kingdom of God. You should be about the Father's business. When he said subdue it, what did he mean? He means bring it under your authority. What does he mean? Exercise authority at the command of the Lord. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. What's that mean? It means rule wisely. What does that mean for us? Ruling according to God's very word itself. For it is wisdom. We were created to live. We were created to have life abounding in us now. You can go over to the book of Revelation. You can also find in Daniel where it talks about the book of life and other places. But especially in the book of Revelation, it mentions it in the 13th chapter. It mentions it in the 20th chapter. It mentions it in the 21st chapter. It talks about the book of life. And one place it talks about the book of life of the Lamb. Now, I love that terminology in that way because what it means is everyone who's written in that has the life of the Lamb in them. We were created to have the life of the Lamb in us in this season of time and to rule and reign in this season of time. God made us for this. God made us for this. God made us for this. You were not created for death. You were created for life. You were created to live forever. There is a death that is really, really abhorrent, and it is the second death. And it talks about that in the book of Revelation. It talks about that in the 19th and 20th chapter in particular. Or no, let me think here. 20th and 21st chapter. And it talks about the second death. And that is separation from God for eternity, where people are cast into the lake of fire. And God loves them, but they chose to reject his provision. Don't reject his provision. Life has been made available to you. if there'd be even a single person, either watching online or in the room, that would say, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord. I've never been saved. I'm separated from God. If that's you, I want you in a moment of time, in an instant, to be made right with Him. It'll change you forever, and you will have a completely different destiny. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, I want to ask you just to raise your hand, and we can take care of that in a moment. That goes for you online as well. If you're watching and you'd say, that's me, I've never been saved, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord, raise your hand. I can't necessarily see you right now, but that's okay. It's an act of yourself saying, I need this. I'm going to ask everybody in this room and those online that are watching, if you would repeat this prayer after me, and if you mean this in your heart, it's not the words, it's the heart condition. If you mean this in your heart, in a moment of time, you can be born again. So just repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you now. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. Jesus, you came from heaven to earth. You took my sin, died in my place, and you rose from the dead for me. I believe that, and I ask you now, be my Lord, save me. And I thank you that I am saved. I'm heaven bound. I'm a new person. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, God is an amazing God, and He loves you, and He wants you to be with Him. If you made that commitment, let us know, because we want to rejoice with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again.